Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. Well, of course, I guess you can call in because it doesn't look like we're going to have our regularly scheduled guest. We'd actually had a call from Bill Simon, who, of course, his father's a member of the CFR. He ran for governor here against Gray Davis 4 years or so ago, and he lost the election. He was, of course, thinking of running when we were going to recall Gray Davis, but when Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was, of course, picked by the establishment to run, when he came onto the scene, why, of course, everybody dropped out but Tom McClintock. And it's really such a tragedy. The reason that they ran Arnold Schwarzenegger, because they didn't want an honest-to-goodness, a pro-American conservative there. They wanted somebody whose family had strong ties to the Nazi Party, which he did. Certainly his father and Kurt Waldheim, who was a Nazi, were very close. Arnold's father was a Nazi. We don't talk about that. Actually, of course, he had to be cleared by Lord Rothschild before he was allowed to run for governor. I'm speaking of Arnold. And we actually have seen pictures of Arnold and George Shultz and Lord Rothschild really talking among one another, sort of grinning like the cat that just ate the canary. I think it was more like the cat that just swallowed California. But, of course, when Arnold ran, with the complete support of the establishment, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Democrats, the Republicans, and George Shultz, why, of course, there was nothing that could stand in their way. Now, who is George Shultz? Well, if anybody would like, why, we have something we got from the State of the World Forum. The State of the World Forum is Gorbachev's organization. It was actually organized, or at least the papers were taken out for the foundation for the, I guess it was the Green Cross or whatever it was that evolved into the State of the World Forum. But they were taken out about 6 months before Gorbachev actually came to the United States, 6 months before the phony revolution over there. Because this whole thing is planned, everything is staged, and what most people don't understand is nothing happens by accident. So after Gorby came over here, I mean, here's the butcher of Afghanistan, should be tried for war crimes, but of course nobody's going to suggest that because he travels around America getting $80,000 or $100,000 for giving a short speech. I mean, he's one of the elite. He's one of the leaders of the world. And you could tell that if you look at the material you can get from the State of the World Forum, or we'll be glad to give you material we got back in about 1995. Who were the co-chairmen of Gorbachev's State of the World Forum? Why, George H.W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, George Shultz, people like Mabiki, who is now the president of South Africa. And you go down the list of the people who were on the board of the State of the World Forum paying homage to that magnificent leader, Gorbachev. You'll find many of the leaders of the world, and we'd be glad to actually send you a copy of that. That Ted Turner is right there. Send a copy of the material we actually got from the State of the World Forum so you get a feel of what this is really all about. You see, you're supposed to believe that there is, you know, there's a battle between communism and capitalism. Oh, yes, that was the Cold War. Well, the Cold War was as phony as a $3 bill. Russia would have collapsed long ago because communism doesn't work. The only thing that kept it going was constant infusions of money and technology from the West. And if you doubt that, you really need to read Professor Sutton's book, The Best Enemy Money Could Buy, or see my interview with Professor Sutton before he passed away, entitled The Best Enemy Money Could Buy. So they're available from Radio Liberty, and of course, since we're not going to have a guest, apparently, why, give us a call here at 1-800-544-8927 or 464-8295. We'd love to talk to you this afternoon. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our regularly scheduled guest did not appear, so I thought maybe I'd talk a little bit about the issues that are on the ballot here in California for your benefit, and of course we have to try to make this as general as we can, because there is this program is being heard all across the country, but one of the things that is on our ballot locally is something known as Measure J, and it's an effort to widen the highway. Now, who could be against widening the highway? And, of course, stopping the congestion here in the Santa Cruz area. But you must understand that Measure J has nothing to do with stopping congestion, because during the rush hours, the public is not going to be able to use those new lanes they're putting in. Those are going to be reserved for the buses and for people with a couple of carpooling and emergency vehicles. The whole idea of Measure J is not to undo the chaos that we have on our highways. It's to get you out of your car. And when you understand that, at one of the recent meetings, the public meetings, one of the people who's pushing this said, "Why, you have to understand, we are going to use this to get them out of their cars. What's this really all about? Well, they're going to put a rail line in from Davenport all the way over into Monterey. And the first thing they're going to do is, of course, buy up this little strip of track. But when they buy up the track, they have to buy the whole track. And this is the first step along the way towards this mass transit system aimed at getting you out of your car. They know exactly what they're doing. They don't want you to know. Do you really want to trust them with 300 and some odd million dollars? And, of course, they're going to have all sorts of money to spend on all sorts of things. And even though I really would like to see our highways widened here, this is a Trojan horse. And let me explain to you that they know exactly what they're doing. And when you see the radical left that has been controlling our community here for so long, pushing that, you know it's not going to be trouble. What they're really planning on bringing 10,000 new low-cost homes into this area. It's already gone through the Planning Commission. They're going to have so much congestion after that that you're not going to want to drive your car. It's going to be controlled through chaos. We suggest a no vote on Measure J. You're welcome, of course, to disagree with me if you'd like. But if you think about it, why are the radical left who control both the city and the county governments of Santa Cruz pushing it? They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. And then, of course, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other items on the ballot. I don't know how many of you have been watching Proposition 64 about this. This poor Spanish fellow came to America to fulfill the American dream, and he's got this lawsuit from some unscrupulous lawyer, and he just, of course, we got to pass this Proposition 64, and that's going to solve our problem. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I'm going to invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If there's something you'd like to talk about, why, give us a call. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But I'm going to talk just generally about some of the propositions here in California, and if you're across the country, why, of course, you are not facing the same issues, but you're facing the same principles. And let me suggest, if you don't understand what the issue is, vote against it. Then see who's putting the money up to favor it. And here in California, they have this ad, and they play it over and over and over again on television. And it shows this poor young fella, and he's just got this garage, and they've got a car there with a wheel off. And he says, you know, here we're a small-time operation, and we're getting this letter from a lawyer who's threatening to sue us, and he wants $2,500 if he's going to take us to court. And I go to a lawyer, and he says, gee, it'll cost you more than $2,500 to fight the suit. Why, you better go ahead and just pay him. And so the fellow says, gee, we can't afford it, but I guess maybe we better just go ahead and pay it. Well, it sounds real good. In fact, I know most of the people I know are saying, oh, yeah, we got to pass Proposition 64. But that's because they've never read it, and they've never noticed who's putting up all the money for this. And the big corporations are putting the money up for it. Why the tobacco companies are putting the money up. Everybody's putting the money up, because if you look at this very, very closely, what it does is it outlaws class action suits. And the only people who can bring class action suits for a gross mismanagement and for criminal activity our government employees. Now, how many out there in the listening audience really think that government employees who are dependent upon the structure of our government, which is financed by the great corporations, how many of them are going to bring lawsuits? I mean, we just don't see that sort of thing. Tobacco is a deadly poison. It was known it was a deadly poison for 40 years. It was producing cancer of the pancreas, and it was producing cancer of the lung, and it was producing, cancers all over the body, as well as producing terrible pulmonary and heart problems. And it wasn't until the lawyers got into this and brought class action suits that anything happened. And only when the lawyers got into it, and I hate to have to look to lawyers to solve our problems, but when the government won't, when the government would go ahead and put a notice on the package of cigarettes saying, this is harmful to your health and can produce cancer, then when the lawsuits come along, after the foolish people, of course, go ahead and do something that they should know better than doing, the tobacco companies that say, well, it's right there. You obviously knew it was going to produce cancer. Well, they, of course, exploited this thing. They made billions of dollars off the suffering of the people. This is a deadly substance. That tobacco is a deadly substance, and it's caused so many deaths and suffering in this country. And yet, of course, it was never the government. It was the lawyers that stopped this sort of thing. Here in California, there's a class action suit being brought because of aspartame, which is a deadly poison which they put in so many of our products under the name of being NutraSweet. Now, if you pass this legislation, why, of course, that sort of lawsuit is just completely out the door. The only people who can bring a class action lawsuit are government employees, public administrators, and that sort of thing. And do you think the public administrators who are looking for a fast buck from the drug companies or from the HMOs or from the insurance companies or whatever it may be are really going to be concerned from the tobacco companies? They're putting the money up for this. I think people really ought to read this sort of legislation and understand that what they're trying to do is prevent any class action lawsuits. Some of them are totally unfounded, but some of them are well worthwhile. And since we do not have men of integrity in most branches of our government, and if we have to rely upon the lawyers to get justice, why, so be it. But I'm voting no on Proposition 64 here in California. I hope that many other people will as well. And then there's another piece of legislation that's coming up, and it has to do with getting hospital bonds through. It's Proposition 61, and it sounds so good, and you'll hear these advertisements. This isn't going to raise your taxes. This is going to help children. And it's a bond to raise money for children's hospitals. And they show these sweet little children, and they got wonderful music and wonderful rhymes, and it's just done so cute. And this woman says, help the children. This is not going to raise your taxes. It's going to help children. Well, where does the money come from? It's a $750 million bond issue. And, of course, it's going to cost $1.5 billion because it costs twice as much by the time you pay off the bonds. You'd be better to give them the $750 million than make a bond because somebody makes an awful lot of money on the interest on this money. And, of course, it's going to come from the general revenue. And they're going to have to raise the taxes. They're simply lying, but then what do you expect? Everything is a lie. I remember when, of course, they were going to deregulate electricity. The purpose of deregulating electricity here in California was to lower the price of electricity because our prices were a little higher than some of the adjacent states. The only reason they were higher was because the environmentalists were constantly bringing suits against the electricity companies, and instead, of course, allowing the electricity companies to countersue the environmentalists for the expenses they went to. Because I believe if you bring a frivolous suit, why you should be subject to a countersuit. Why our judges wouldn't allow that? Of course, the media was controlled by the people who supported the environmentalists. Our courts were controlled by the people who supported the environmentalists. The great foundations were funding the environmentalists. Many of the great corporations were funding the environmentalists. And, of course, they ran the price of electricity up. They blocked nuclear power. They blocked the building of new generating plants here. And so they said, the solution is deregulation because it's going to lower the price of electricity and it's going to bring in competition. Well, it was never designed to do that. It was designed to raise the price of electricity. But if they told the American people that, if they told the people of California that, how many people would have supported it? And so there were groups that actually got legislation on the ballot to do away with deregulation. They spent, probably $30-40 million on television ads to convince the people that we were going backwards. And they had these dinosaurs, and they were all running backwards. I don't know if you ever saw a dinosaur running backwards on the screen, but that's what they were. And they said, we don't want to move backwards. We want to move forwards. We want to deregulate electricity, and they did. And, of course, the utility companies sold off their plants, and, of course, they kept the money. We'd paid for them. The public had paid for the plants, and they turned over $4 billion to the stockholders and PG&E. I don't know how much Southern California Edison or the other utilities actually drained from the public. And what happened? The price of electricity almost doubled. They knew exactly what they were going to do, but they lied to the public. So be very, very careful. If you don't know what it's about, vote against it. And you should have voted, of course, to stop this issue as far as the electricity was concerned, but the average person didn't understand it. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So let's go to Jim, who's calling us from New York. Hi, Jim. What part of New York are you in?
Upstate New York.
Good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. I was listening to you talk about astral projection earlier with your guest.
Right, that was in the last hour. Go ahead.
Yes, and I just wanted to make a comment that it's not necessarily demonic or satanic. Near-death experiences with out-of-body experiences happen when people are dying and they come back, and it's not exactly something that can just all of a sudden be labeled as satanic, because it's more of a natural occurrence, I think.
You think it's a natural occurrence for the soul to move out of the body and back in again?
Yeah. I think it can happen. Actually, I've done it a lot, and I don't find it satanic. I'm a Christian.
I see, but you do a lot of astral projection?
Yeah, I actually, it's a natural ability to me, and
I see. Do you ever wonder where this power comes from that allows you to do that?
Well, I think that the power comes from the soul, and I'm a believer of Jesus Christ.
Well, I know, but what gives the soul the power? You think it's Jesus Christ that's allowing to astral project? Or is it possibly somebody pretending to represent Christ that's giving you this supernatural power? Because you're tapping into the supernatural, Jim. Are you concerned about that?
I don't. It's with the supernatural. Okay, see, we're on a physical... We're in physical bodies, so something like if you ever dream or if you ever have an out-of-body experience, we might necessarily not think it's a supernatural experience, but it's very common. Like, a lot of people astral project every night, and they don't even know it.
I see. Well, I would just like to suggest that maybe you ought to talk to some people who've been in the occult and have come out, and they will tell you, and I have one of them working for me right as we speak, and, of course, he was deeply involved in this, and he was astral projecting, and, of course, it is his contention that he was tapping into demonic spirits. I would just suggest that you get down on your knees and ask God for guidance about this, and ask him if he really is behind this, or this is a demonic spirit, because there is another dimension out there. In fact, this is what the witches and the Satanists always want to tap into. They want to tap into a contact with the beings from another dimension. I would be very concerned about dealing with that other dimension if I were you.
Okay,
but I appreciate your calling, I would simply ask for, get down on your knees and ask God, in all sincerity, is this really of you, or is this coming from the other side?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Jim calling from New York. A little off the subject, but right now, of course, it's in open lines. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. But, of course, we've got elections coming up. And let me point out that here in California, we got rid of Gray Davis because, of course, he'd raised our state level of debt to $15 billion. We brought in a conservative. And as of June of this next year, our debt rate will be $30 billion. So with conservatives like that, we really don't need enemies. And you have to understand that people say one thing, they do another. If they had told the American people or the people of California that the purpose of deregulating electricity was to raise the price of electricity, they wouldn't have gone for it. So you say exactly the opposite. It's called lying, but it's very prevalent across America today. Give us a call, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinex is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our regularly scheduled guest who is to be with us this afternoon just didn't show up. So if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment on really any subject, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, you always find these bond requests on the ballot, and, oh, it's not going to cost anything. Bonds don't cost anything. They don't charge you for that, and they're simply lying. And, of course, where did the money come from? Well, first of all, bonds cost twice as much money because you have to pay the interest on them for 20 or 30 years, and sometimes even cost more than double the cost of the original amount of money. It would save money if you just gave them the money right out lot. But secondly, it's got to come out of the general revenue. And the general revenue is going to have to raise your taxes. I don't care what they say. They simply are lying. And when you got these real pretty girls and they look at you right into the camera and it looks like they're looking right into your eyes and says, this is not going to cost you anything. Understand they're lying. I routinely vote against just about every bond issue because, of course, the government's got more money than it needs, and of course, it's right now we're on the verge of bankruptcy, and it's a terrible thing when a state goes bankrupt, but they have to curtail all sorts of services, and an awful lot of people are going to get hurt in the coming economic collapse, which is going to engulf not only the United States, but the entire world. And I really believe, of course, God does bring judgment upon societies when they've turned against him. Well, we've got Michael in Kentucky. Go ahead, Michael. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, some of what you were just talking about is what I'm interested in, speaking out about a little bit, is the comprehensive annual financial reports. Now, a lot of what people talk about with bankruptcy, like you just mentioned, we do have a shell game of paper that's going on with the government floating all these treasury bills or bonds, whatever they call them, around the world. And there's been, in the last 5 days, several stories about China supposedly dumping some dollars for oil and gold through, you know, sort of backdoor, off-the-beaten-path channels because... they've been buying our government securities for a long time to keep their currency relatively low so that their goods are cheaper in our markets. Now, you were supposed to interview somebody from the Treasury, a candidate for Treasury.
I'm going to meet interview Bill Simon, who's going to be running for the state treasurer in the year, I guess, 2006. But we weren't able to get hold of him.
Right. Well, one thing you might... what I've tried to get people to confront people about, politicians, be it on the local level or the state or on up, is the comprehensive annual financial reports. And basically, what we've got going on is the government has nationalized, in effect, most of Wall Street, most of the major entities that are, you know, listed as stock market indices. Are owned by what's called institutional funds, which all the different levels of government buy into those stocks. You know,
of course, you're talking about really here, the state pension fund here in California is a major holder of stocks, many Wall Street stocks. And this is true all across the country. These large state pension funds and other state funds that they have, they do, of course, invest heavily in Wall Street. You're right.
Well, of course, now that. In looking at the comprehensive annual financial reports, you can separate out those assets which actually belong to the pension holders. And what I'm talking about is whenever a state makes a deal to get a factory to come into this country, say BMW wants to locate in California, why, there's all sorts of behind-the-scenes deal-making going on, and they won't have to pay property tax on the land that they're going to plant their factory on for however many decades that they make the deal for, but in the deal, the state will get some stock, and that stock sits in, it's not part of the budget. The dividends that generates don't go into the general fund. That anything that makes money, the state rakes it over to something called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report so they can sit there and show that their expenditures exceed their tax revenues. And that they need to raise taxes, so the government's budget keeps looking like it's not making any money, but actually they've got all these assets set aside in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report since the 50s. And the Alaskan oil pipeline is a prime example. Have you talked with Lindsey Williams at all?
I've talked to him many times, just this morning. Make one more point, we're just about out of time.
Oh, well, that's about it. I just think it's fascism, and that's, you know, the only other way to describe it is the government actually has all these assets. What else is it? Fascism.
All right. Well, I think we're in real trouble, and I hope you'll just keep getting people to listen to our program and understand that behind everything are these powerful spiritual voices. Thanks so much for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
God bless.
four tapes out on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs. In a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we've got Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to talk about what's happening in Cuba right at the moment.
All right, what's happening in Cuba?
Well, I see that Castro has just disallowed the use of U.S. dollars in their business in Cuba now. They cannot do anything other than use pesos.
All right. Of course, I think a lot of people down there really wanted to have dollars because at least there was some stability to that, and you never know how stable the Cuban peso is going to be. So is he making it a crime then to deal in dollars? Is that it?
Yes, he is. And you know, most of the money that had been shipped down there by the Cubans in like in Florida was in U.S. dollars.
I see. So then
I have this horrible feeling that the World Bank isn't going to let Castro be around much longer.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. You know, of course, he needs the dollars so that he can buy many of the products that he wants. He's desperate to have dollars. I'm not quite certain why he would have done that at this point in time. But and then increasingly, there are people throughout the world who are turning away from the dollars. Certainly we know that in the Arab countries, because of the growing hatred of America, because of our invasion of Iraq. a lot of the Arabs were certainly supported us after the 9/11 attack. But once we, of course, instead of trying to get Osama bin Laden, they're pretty smart over there, the Arab people, and they knew that we didn't try to get Osama bin Laden. We let him get away. And then, of course, the war was really all about taking control of Afghanistan. And then once you had, before you even had Afghanistan under control, you went to war with Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11. We just needed 9/11 so we could justify going to war with Iraq. And, of course, the people throughout the rest of the world feel very strongly about all the civilians killed, because when you have a war, people get killed. And, of course, I'm sure a lot of people were very glad to get rid of Saddam Hussein, but why didn't we just give them the country and pull out and let them set up their own government there? And it should be very obvious to everybody, we have no intention of doing that. We're building 14 major military bases. The largest embassy anywhere in the entire world is being built in Iraq. Why would we do that if we're going to pull out of there and give these people democracy? And why don't we let them pick their leaders rather than people who've been working with the CIA for years? So we're developing increasing hatred, against the dollar, against the Americans. And they know that one of the things that they can do to hurt America is to hurt us financially. And if the oil-producing countries over there just said tomorrow, we're not going to take the dollar anymore, why, the dollar would go into a tailspin, believe
that's
me.
That's one of the main reasons that we had to go into Iraq, because Saddam Hussein had changed his trade from the dollar bill to the euro.
Right, and of course,
and
there is...
absolutely couldn't allow that to happen on the... But it's going to be interesting to see what happens down in Cuba in the next few weeks. I remember when that happened, when they announced that Iraq had changed their dollars.
Well, I think it's very interesting that the Russians now are asking for euros rather than for dollars for at least part of their oil. And certainly within the Arab countries, they're trying to get away from using the dollar as a reserve currency, and they're turning to gold, to the gold dinar. And increasingly, you're seeing this in both India and China. And I think that for the people out there in the listening audience who do not understand the world monetary system or how the central banks of the world work in unison to control their individual countries, let me suggest that you, if you don't already subscribe to my newsletter, that of course you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and specifically request the October newsletter, because then you begin to understand this whole process of usury, which of course is outlawed in the Muslim world, was outlawed in the Christian world really until the 17th century. The Catholic Church opposed this. It's actually Plato, Aristotle opposed usury. Cato, Seneca, Cicero opposed usury. And the Bible says that one Jew should not lend money to another Jew for interest. The Templars weren't allowed to charge interest on the money they charged back in the 13th century, the money they lent out. They had to find other means of making money off of it. And it wasn't until the 17th century that the Catholic Church approved usury, and this is the basis of central banking today. It's a process by which the people who control the banks can create money out of nothing, and then they have great wealth that they can utilize to buy up the newspapers, to buy up the corporations, to buy up the politicians, and to control the countries of their respective nations. And that's exactly what they're doing here in the United States.
It wasn't very long ago that you cannot loan somebody money and charge anything more than 6% interest.
Right. Of course, that was before the days of the credit card, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And now we have legalized usury with interest rates to go 18-20%. And nobody says anything at all about it. They've created a credit bubble here, and if all you need to do is see what happened. At the time of our American Revolution, when we had the continental currency, that was, of course, in 1776 to about 1781. And, of course, that massive inflation from just paper money destroyed the economy. And then, of course, what happened in France in 1789. What happened to the United States in 1865 after Lincoln printed paper money to finance the Civil War? And it's happened over and over again. It has happened certainly in Germany, we know, during the earlier part of the last century. And that's what it led to Adolf Hitler. We saw it happen in Russia in the early 1990s. We saw it happen in Argentina just a couple of years ago. But everybody says it could never happen here.
Well, it sure looks like it's coming quick.
I think it is, too. Well, I think that's really fascinating. I hadn't heard what was going on in Cuba today. So you're going to have to keep me appraised of what's going on there, Fred. Anything
okay,
else you want to say?
I just predict that Castro won't be around much longer, so...
Well, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. I don't make predictions. I just observe and tell you what I think may happen. And I think that after the election, whether Kerry gets in or whether Bush gets in, we're going into some real economic contraction. They're going to have to expand the war to keep the economy going, and even that will not keep it going eventually, indefinitely. And, of course, it was a series of wars that destroyed Great Britain. I mean, they at one time, Britain really controlled the whole world. They had an empire. They had troops stationed all over the world, just like the United States has today.
You know, they're in 130 different countries now.
Right.
So.
And the American people don't understand that we are the dominant force in the world. We have an American empire. We control governments throughout the world. We get some leader in there we don't like, the CIA just assassinates him or creates a revolution and gets rid of him. It's very easy to buy a revolution. It's very easy to buy an assassin. It's very easy for a helicopter to go down or a plane to go down or an accident to occur to a leader throughout the world. And this is happening over and over again. And the CIA is involved in assassinations. They're involved, for instance, they brought the Shah of Iran to power back in 1953 when they toppled Mossadegh. And then they toppled the Shah of Iran and they brought the Ayatollahs to power back in 1979. But people don't understand that. They helped Saddam Hussein come to power. And then, of course, they toppled Saddam Hussein. So you get the people into power, and then you get them out of the power. It's all how the game is played.
They just use them up.
Right. And, of course, if America would simply be concerned about American issues and be concerned about the freedom of the American people, but there are people who have a different vision. They believe in this idea of a ruling world government. They believe in a ruling world elite. And of course, this has been the objective behind the scenes really for hundreds of years until people understand that if you go back and you read what Plato wrote about 2,350 years ago in his Republic, he talked about this ruling elite that would rule, and of course there was to be an all-powerful elite, there was to be a so-called just ruler, a ruling oligarchy, and then a massive military and police force that would control the people, and then everybody else would simply be, enslaved, and would break down the family. All the children were to belong to the state. And that's just what's happening in America today. I mean, are they going to take your children away from you if you don't get them vaccinated? If they feel that you're mistreating your children, if you're teaching them things that they don't want? This is why, of course, we're having this whole No Child Left Behind scheme, which, of course, requires that every child be monitored and records be kept in a national database. And if this child is getting bad ideas like believing in God and family and country, not only has the school failed, but the parents, of course, are a menace to this dream, this internationalist dream that these people embrace. And these people have no loyalty to America. They have this idea of bringing about world democracy, a new world global commonwealth. This is really what it's all about. A democratic commonwealth is the term that they use so often. Make the world safer democracy, to bring democracy to the world. But it is all part of a long-range plan, and people have to understand that what is happening is not by accident. We are not going to pull our troops out of Iraq when this war is over. It's only a matter of time before we go to war with Iran. And if you read the writings of the people who are the propagandists for the project for the new American century, and I would specifically mention Gary Bauer and Frank Gaffney, both who were a part of the original little group of 25 that planned everything that's going on, go to their website at projectforthenewamericancentury.org. Their names are all there, 1997, their statement of principles. You'll find out who they are, and then see what they're doing today, and what are they doing? Why, of course, we've just got to stay over there in Iraq, and then we're going to have to do something about Iran. Why, Iran is threatening to attack America. Now, anybody believes that Iran is threatening to attack America, attack America or American forces, is going to have, they will believe almost anything. Iran is too smart to actually launch a major attack on America because they know there'd be retaliation. But you see, they say these things over and over until the American people believe these things, and then they're willing to go to war with Iran or Syria or whoever the next enemy will be. When are the American people going to realize this is all planned ahead of time? Hey, we got to go, Fred. Thanks so very much.
Day.
Anything else you want to say?
Oh, that's it.
Okay, let's go to Jeannie, who's calling. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
Well, I'm just driving around listening to you. I'd like to connect the dots.
Okay, go ahead.
Of the internationalists coming down into the local counties. And the one group that is following the mandates of the elitists is called the Business Council.
All right.
And here in Santa Cruz County, California, we have the Santa Cruz County Business Council. And it's very interesting because they have three subcommittees in their organization. One is transportation, the other is education, and the third is water. And as I understand, these are the three critical programs they want to get control of. And right now in Santa Cruz County, it's the Santa Cruz Business Council that was behind getting Measure J on the ballot. And that has to do with transportation. So anything that's coming up with transportation like railways, transit, bus transit, bicycle paths, and so forth, the Business Council is behind it. And they actually connect on to the National Business Council and then to the World Business Council. So these are the movers and the shakers. And actually on the Santa Cruz County Business Council, we have some of the most respected men in Santa Cruz County. And actually, they're actually selling their souls if they don't know that they are actually creating sustainable Soviet villages through this transportation plan.
I think a lot of them really don't understand. They are told over and over again, this is the great thing, that Measure J is going to widen the highway, and isn't that going to be great? It's going to do away with congestion. No, it's designed to create more congestion. It's designed to get people out of cars. The people behind this understand, but they've sold the people the bill of goods, and this really has to do with the railway that's going to circumvent all of our county, and then, of course, it's going to connect to the railways elsewhere. It won't be economically feasible, but they're going to create so much congestion, they're going to have control by chaos. I agree with you, Jeannie, and I share your concern.
I was just going to mention that the head of the Santa Cruz County Business Council is a carpetbagger. He actually lives in Stockton, California, and he commutes. And he's been doing that since 1994, 95.
Well, of course,
so
these
they
people
had to hire someone outside the county to come in to be the executive director of this business council. He's a facilitator, and he makes Dr. Stan about $100,000 a year plus benefits.
Well, they reward these people very well who carry out the programs of the internationalists. Remember the slogan, think globally but act locally, and boy, do they know how to do that. And to manipulate good people, and this is the problem. Hey, thanks so much. Anything else you want to say, Jeannie?
That's it, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, let's go to Robert, who's calling from Illinois. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Hi. A question or comment?
Yes, I was just wondering your opinion. If you think there's any chance that, like, 4 years from now that Mel Gibson might run on the Constitution Party ticket.
I have no idea what Mel Gibson's thoughts are. I'll tell you what, he'd be probably a lot more qualified to run than Arnold Schwarzenegger, because Mel Gibson loves the Lord, and of course he loves America. I don't know where Arnold Schwarzenegger's loyalties are, but I don't think it's either to God or America.
Right.
Well, any other thoughts?
That was all. I'm just wondering, who you think might be a good candidate so that Constitution Party could get some more, publicity and so forth.
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is let people know there is a Constitution Party. It's amazing how many people don't know there's an alternative to Bush and Kerry.
Right.
Even to this very day. And the fact that people have never heard of the Constitution candidate or the Libertarian Party candidate reflects the control over the media, because they don't want them to know about it. Because if they knew about it, they would vote for either the Libertarian or the Constitution Party candidate, and it would pull votes away from Bush. So the media is solidly behind Bush, but they keep talking about Kerry, Ralph Nader. Why? Because Ralph Nader will pull votes away from Kerry. So this is how they play the game. How would you get all of the media to be coordinated? Why? Because there are five major corporations that control the media, and they all interlock to control what the American people think. And for the skeptic out there, let me suggest Ben Dakdakian's excellent book, which we carry, The New Media Monopoly. Anything else there, Robert?
No, that's all.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're really entering some very, very difficult times because, well, as Dr. Paul Craig Roberts wrote recently, and he's my favorite economist, and we get his articles off the Internet. I read them in the Washington Times, but you go up on the Internet, Google, type in Paul Craig Roberts, and his remark recently was, you know, if... John Kerry and George Bush really knew what was ahead, they wouldn't be vying to see who would win the election. They'd be vying to throw the election, because it doesn't matter who the next president is. Why, of course, we're going to terrible economic times after the election, whether it'll be 2005 or 2006. America, the economy that we've had, the life we've known will never be the same again. We will move towards a ruling elite and then the impoverished people. And as we lower the living standards of the average American, to that, of course, of the Bolivian peasant.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention that we are going to be having a program. It's going to be this week from this Saturday on November 6th at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and if you haven't already made your reservation, we hope that some of you will give serious consideration to coming. We're bringing in out some outside speakers, some excellent speakers, and I promise you that if you've never heard Joe Schimmel, why, of course, you'll be amazed at what he has to offer as he goes into the background of how music is being used to transform our society and to usher in this new one-world dictatorship that we talk about so often. And, of course, you'll see clips of music there. You'll see Ozzy Osbourne singing about Mr. Crowley, and you'll see Marilyn Manson singing about Mr. Crowley. It's an amazing talk, and I recommend it to you. And you'll actually begin to realize that there really is a supernatural dimension there that is tapping into the minds and the hearts and the souls of our children. And, of course, Bill Sardi is going to be here giving an excellent talk on what's happening medically and how, of course, effective treatments are being withheld from the American people, and as more and more of our people are becoming ill. In fact, people coming into this country from other countries, the immigrants coming in, why their health deteriorates after they get into the United States. Why is that? Well, you'll certainly want to hear Bill Sardi's talk, and then, of course, you'll want to hear Michael Shaw talking about the sustainable development and how this fits into this whole plan for the new world order. And then I'll be talking about, well, you'll have to come and hear what I'm going to be talking about, but I hope you'll be as fascinated as I'm preparing the talk. I think it is really a gripping, gripping talk. So remember, it's going to start, you want to get here about 8:30 or even a little earlier if you'd like. Doors will open about 8 o'clock. And of course, call us at 1-800-544-8927 to put in your reservation. Lunch is going to be served. We have to know how many people are going to come, and we need to know this week. 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family or subscribe to our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-5 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know what Warren Buffett is doing, what Alan Greenspan really thinks about economics, why, you could call us and we'll send you a copy of our August newsletter. Our September newsletter goes into, of course, the control of the media, and of course, what is planned for the economy. And our October newsletter gives you a historical perspective of how we got to where we are today. So give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like a free copy of any one of the letters. Of course, if you want to get several of them, we really ought to subscribe. Of course, you can go up on the Internet at radioliberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters there. And we give you our permission to copy them, to actually circulate them. And, of course, you can listen to our archive programs on the Internet. You can listen to Radio Liberty 5 hours every day and not get anything at all accomplished. You can even, of course, get a little headset from Radio Shack and walk around the house. Or if you don't want to do that, you want to have a radio, we do have a little transmitter that you can actually plug into your computer. It'll send out a radio signal within your home, and you can listen to our programs there. You don't have to sit in front of the computer. There are all sorts of methods of getting the information, and maybe you only want to listen 1 or 2 hours a day, or maybe even just occasionally. But the information is there. You can listen 4 hours a day on shortwave. The frequency for this program will change as the 31st of October, from 9.430 to 7.535. This 2-hour segment will be 7.535. The evening segment, one will stay on 7.535. The other will change from 7.315 to 6.095. It'll change to 6.095. Please tell your friends about it, because we don't want to lose our audience when, of course, they do have the change, and they'll be in place until the 26th of March. And, of course, it's important that you encourage others to listen to our programs so they can understand that the battle is not between Republicans and Democrats. The battle is not between conservatives and liberals. The battle is not between right and left. It's a spiritual battle. And both sides are being controlled by exactly the same people. But, of course, as long as they can get you to believe there's a two-party system, and you're going to be able to change something maybe next time, why, people will continue going along. Well, we're approaching the end of this whole thing. They've got the war on terror going. They've passed all the new legislation, to protect the American people from the American people. Because there's not one word about Islamic terrorism in the Patriot Act, Patriot 1 and Patriot 2. They've changed the definition of terrorism. It has nothing to do with Islamic terrorism. If they were worried about Islamic terrorism, they'd be guarding our borders, wouldn't they? Wouldn't that be the logical thing to do, to try to keep the Islamic terrorists from coming in? When the people are getting on the planes, they'd be racially profiling the people who are obviously Muslim. Oh, we couldn't do that. That would be racial profiling. No, we've got to search this little 80-year-old lady, or maybe somebody who's a patriot whose name is on the terrorist watch list, and he's been put there because he loves America and he's trying to wake people up to what's going on. The war on terrorism is not really a war on terrorism, ladies and gentlemen. It's a war on the American people. And you better start thinking about what's going on. And remember, freedom is lost if good people do nothing, so help us get the truth out. Get people to come and listen to Radio Liberty. Go to our website, listen to our programs, pull down our newsletters. Consider whether what we're saying is true. An awful lot of people start out, they think we're crazy. Before long, they're afraid we're not. And so we invite you to please tell others about our programs. Of course, to participate any way that you possibly can to help us. You have our permission to copy our tape sets, to copy our newsletter, to copy the videos that we have produced. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.